Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The concept of getting football officials wider on the field has really paid dividends to better, safer officiating on the gridiron for the last 30 or 40 years. Listen in on this episode for the evolution of the wing officials' pre-snap position, coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to talk a little bit about some of the officiating mechanics and how that's changed a little bit. And maybe some of you have noticed that over the last 50, 60 years. The headlinesman and the line judge are what we call sideline officials, the wing officials. And they have the best view of the line of scrimmage before each play of anybody in the house. They are positioned right over the neutral zone on each end of the field, each sideline of the field. So they definitely have the best view. Now before each snap, they line up across from each other and making sure their pre-snap duties, which include the amount of substitutes coming off of their respective sidelines, count how many players for one of the teams, and maybe they have the offense or they have the defense as a second count. Down and distance is very important. And making sure that neutral zone is clear, except for maybe the arm and head of the snapper, and watching for false starts along that line. That's their pre-snap duties. Now, that's really pretty much what we're going to talk about in this segment. But the wing officials were not always on the sidelines. You watch right now in an NFL game, a college game, a high school game, most kids games, little gritters and the like, where you have at least four officials out there. Those two wing officials, the headlinesman and the line judge, will probably be off of the sideline, be in the white paint outside the lines. But it wasn't always the case. When I started officiating back in the late 1980s, the theory was as a wing official on a five-man crew that you would be just a few yards wider than the widest offensive player to your side. So in many cases, you might be out at the numbers or almost the hash marks sometimes, but offenses were much different in high school then. They were pretty much, the 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Everything was run. They weren't running spread formations and shotguns and things like that very often. But they did do it, and there was times where officials on games I was working would be caught in the middle, and they would have players outside of them running down the sideline, and they're caught inside. Very difficult to officiate the sideline from there, see if somebody steps out of bounds. Plus, it's not safe. Players have pads, officials do not, and guess who wins that war when there's a collision? Usually not the official. Guy in stripes is usually laying on the ground, and I've had that happen to me before. So, we have a great photograph from 1958 Pitt Panther game against, I'm not even sure who they're playing. They're Penn State, November 27th, 1958. And there's a picture of an official, and he is, that ball's probably about the 3 yard line. Maybe it's an extra point play or something. Pitt has the ball. And the official, you see his rear end, he's down on his knees, kicking an extra point. And the official is almost into the hash marks. He's probably about 3 or 4 yards outside the hash marks with a red flag sticking out of his pocket. Remember, those flags didn't turn yellow for a few more years later, maybe the next decade, I think, in college. They one time were that red color. And they're just an interesting look of an official out on the field with the white knickers on pigskindispatch.com. and just goes to show you. Now, the philosophy sort of changed, at least in high school up in northwestern Pennsylvania. They started having us put our toes on the sideline probably right around early 1990s, if I remember correctly. And it was quite a theory change and an evolution. And one of the things that they always told us, and it's true, if I want you right now, take your hand and put two fingers up and put them right so they're just above the point, right outside the point of your nose, and see how many fingers you can count with two fingers. Now take it and put it further away from you. Definitely can see it with a little bit more distance. That's the same concept when you are officiating. If you're up so close to the play, you may not see everything. You can only focus on one or two things. But if you back off of that and you look in your periphery, you see a lot more. That's why, you know, a lot of times you're in the stands or you're watching on television, you're at a greater distance than the officials are. Well, you see a little bit more of what's going on than they have. You have a better vantage point. You can use your periphery and bring everything into the focus at one time, where an official doesn't always have that luxury. But the best that they can do is get off that sideline. It's safer for them, it's safer for the players, and it's also, they have a better view of the game and can officiate a much better game that way. So that's what the philosophy of sideline wing officials with their toes in the paint or off the paint, you know, outside the paint. And you definitely want to do that. And there's some other great things that they do. But that's the basics of a pre-snap for a head linesman, or I guess they just call them linesmen now, or a line judge. The linesman is the one that takes care of the chains most of the time, too. The box and down and distance guys, those are under the care of the head linesman or the linesman, in this case, or linesperson. We do have some young ladies that are officiating the college and high school and professional ranks now, so we'll say line person and line judge. And the line judge pretty much is the guide to the referee to tell where the ball is as far as they are in the chains. So when I was a line judge for many years, and a lot of times I had the best view of if it was a first down or not, and I could tell the referee, hey, take a look at this, or it's close, or it's going to be third down, or whatever. And usually the referees, they could trust their line judge. And when I was a referee, I definitely trusted my line judge because I knew what a better view he had than anybody else did. Could see right away by looking right over at those chains. So just a little bit of tidbits from the officials, just showing them a little bit of love, and maybe it's something else you can take a look at as you're watching games this fall. See where those officials are and if they're wide and outside the sidelines. So that's a little bit of our football history today. Great picture on pigskindispatch.com. Hope you enjoyed it. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that. Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.